know they'll behave, and I know their parents. Fifth graders, no way. I ask them to leave if they come in. I'll just leave it at that. They'll talk. They're just not yet ready to do that. And one person, George Slovin, did everybody else in church service. You know, somebody hacked up, and everybody looks at it. George Slovin just got high school and junior high kids there. One person can destroy it. You know, they have some destroyed. So that's why we do that. The junior high day, we're going to do that every Wednesday. I mean, that's going to be a regular week in, week out thing that we're going to do. And I'm looking forward to that. The Mystery Bus Caravan, that's kind of a special thing we do. Last summer, we did that every other week, just to open it up. High school and junior high, we had our mystery trip. It was on Thursday, I believe it was, every other week. They came, we took them to places like some museums there in Houston. We took them down to one of the Houston Chronicle, the big newspaper place. Fascinating tour. Took them to NASA. There's some points of interest in your town. You know, they'll really enjoy it. You know, they never go there unless you do something like that. Take them there. Yeah, we usually always do. Bring them back to the church, have a refreshment time, and just sit down. And I may just stand up and say, you know, we really had a good time today, and we just want to thank the Lord for what He's done. And very briefly share maybe the four laws with them and say, if any of you are really interested in knowing more about this, please come see me. Always have your visitors register. Get their name and address so you can follow up on them. That's really important. Everything you do, even if it's awkward, get them names and so you can follow up on them. And you won't get 100% even if you try, but you can pretty well do it. Okay?
Are your own kids bringing
them? Oh, yeah. George Slocum won't work unless that happens. George Slocum won't work. That's what happened the first of this year. We were running long, 40, 50, and boy, our kids got excited. We had a guy that brought a real popular guy at school, and the guy accepted the Lord first night. And we've gone, I'd say, up to about 200 in George Slocum just because of that. As long as it's your kids, you might as well forget it. I say that. For 2 years, I struggled with it. But I kept telling my kids, you've got to bring the lost kids. You've got to bring the lost kids. And I was bringing the lost kids myself. Finally, it caught on. They got a vision of what the Lord could do in George Slocum. And we did. Your music is really important. And like I said, we'll talk about Joy Explosion more later.
Are you
going to
talk about your music?
Yeah. Yeah. A big thing that we do, try to do every year at the end of the summer, evangelistic thing, is a back-to-school rally. And here's where we might bring in a pro football player, a big-time, you know, somebody that kids recognize, a name that will draw kids. This year we're using a group called the Hope of Glory. They're kind of a rock gospel group out of Pasadena. They're all used to, well, our music director gave all of them voice lessons at one time or another. And we have them back about once a year. And we're really looking forward to that on August 26th this year. Just really blowing it out. And we're going to invite our whole association to come with us and get our kids out after it. And that's going to be a super, super rally. We're really looking forward to that. We'll share the gospel there. We'll have them play and sing, and either myself or the pastor. Or we might even get somebody else to come in that the kids know. Really, it's better. A lot of these times, and this, I don't want this to sound egotistical, but a lot of times when you have things like that, you're the one that needs to do the sharing, even more so than your pastor or even bringing somebody else in, because you're the one that the kid sees. When you go to the school or touch ministry, you know, you're the one that he recognizes. And, you know, you need that time to share with them. From time to time, you will want to have, you know, somebody special in. Another thing we did 2 summers ago that we're going to be doing this summer, is a thing we call Pulpit in the Park, for a catchy title there. We've got a park in Pasadena, Strawberry Park. It's kind of the dope center. A lot of kids will swim through there, tennis courts, you know, playground. It's a huge thing. It's where kids hang out. So in August, I've got a brother that has a gospel rock group. They're coming down. They're going to spend a week there. We're going to go out in that park. There's a pavilion there. They're going to set up about 7:30 and play for about 30 minutes. Just, you know, all the boogie music that they've got. They can't play in churches or elsewhere. We're going to let them loose. And then about 8 o'clock, we're going to start a service. They're going to play some more, and then I'm going to preach. And we did this 2 years ago. We had about 50 kids accept the Lord out there during that week. And this year, we're really excited about it. We've got a man in our town who is, some of you may be familiar with a guy named Johnny Lee, country western singer. He sings at Mickey Gilley's place. He's the house band for Mickey Gilley. He won all the awards this year, the country western deal. Well, about 3 weeks, 2 months ago now, he accepted the award. And we got the wrong door one night out visiting. One of our staff members did. Knocked the wrong door to Johnny Lee. Getting to share with him. A few weeks later, Johnny accepted Christ. He is growing in the Lord by leaps and bounds. He's under a 4-year contract with this guy that owns this Gilly's Place, which is the largest country western nightclub in the world, and he's trying to get out of that so he can start singing gospel music. Good possibility he's going to sing with us in the park that week, so we could have thousands of people there because that's how popular he is. So we're really praying about that, you know, asking the Lord to do a miracle there. You may have an area in your town. We did this also last summer in a front yard. Down in the neighborhood, really burdened about his neighborhood. He said, "Lamar, will you preach a revival in my front yard?" I said, "Yeah." And he got about 50 chairs from the church and set them up in his front yard. And we got a little poor PA. We went out there, and I got one of my guys to lead the music. We got after it. And we had people saved. One of his own boys was saved. And we just had a great time right there in the front yard. It rained, and it always quit just in time for us to meet, wipe the water out of the chairs and meet. And it was great. But that was, you know, just a creative thing the Lord laid on us, and we saw a need there. So be creative in your situation. Just because it hadn't been tried, you know, if we never did anything in our church that hadn't been tried before, it'd be real dull. We'd have everything done pretty soon. So you've got to be creative, or we wouldn't have everything done. We know more now than we're doing in a lot of cases. You know, we know more now than we're telling. And we need to be sure that we're handling the basics before we do some of this other stuff. But it's all basic. Another thing to do is a telephone survey. I've got a friend that is using this right now. They made a commitment to share Christ with every person in their high school. It's a one high school town. They've got a student directory, and the kids have got a survey. Let me say this. Probably the best survey you can get is one you design yourself. The thing that I did on this was just some basic questions, you know, where you live, your brothers and sisters' names, that sort of thing. And then I asked some questions at the bottom. I said, first off, is there ever a time in your life where you really wonder why you're here? You know, I guess be pretty honest with you on the phone. Secondly, is there ever a time in your life where you really feel guilty about something? You feel guilt. Every kid feels guilt. Then the third question was, if there were a way of life that existed that would alleviate or take care of these two problems, would you want to know about it? And naturally, the response is going to be yes. And then either over the phone, they share their testimony, or they make an appointment, and we go see them. And a friend of mine, Jim Johnson, in Plainview, Texas, has made a commitment to share Christ with every high school student in their city. And their kids are after it. About two nights a week, they come to the church, use all the lines, do it. And they've had they said they'd made like 700 calls. Last time I talked with them, they had 85 people before they received Christ over the phone. So, student directory, you may not have a student directory, you may have trouble getting those names. You know, you never know where you can get them. Another thing that we did, and when I say this, you're going to say, boy, I wish we could do that. Well, 3 years ago, I said the same thing. I didn't have the money, and our church didn't have the money. And just because you're in a big church, it means you got all the budget. That's a common deal. You may have a big budget, but you've got, like this week, I'm going to Astroworld. We've got about 100 kids signed up to go to Christian Youth Day at Astroworld. Well, 100 kids, I got to have about 10 sponsors, and that's $7 a shot. That's 70 bucks. So it's, you know, it's on a scale there, you know. So there are a lot of guys here that have a bigger budget than I have. But this guy approached our church because of some of these things we had been doing, sharing the gospel. And he said, I want to put a Reach Out Bible, New Testament, in the hands of every high school student in town. Can y'all do it? Well, you're talking about 12,000 students. And we said yes, without even really thinking. And we went door to door, delivered those Bibles. We got them for about $1.14 a piece. He paid for them, he bought them, gave them to us. And we did it. The next year, I went back to him and I said, you know, we're just sharing. He said, listen, I'd like to do that with the junior high kids. Can y'all do it? He said, sure. So we did that. And after that, I went back to him one day and I was talking to him. He would not let us tell anybody who he was. He didn't want that. He just wanted to get the Bibles out. I said, you know, I said, there are a lot of apartments in our town. And I said, what could we put in every apartment to share Christ? He thought about it and said, I don't know, but whatever it is, I want to do it. And so right now we're in the process of trying to find something that would be a usable tool that we could do that. And, you know, you may have some people in your church. Oh, gosh, I don't know. I just ordered them Bibles somewhere in that neighborhood. About 20, I think, is where it came to. You know, over a 2-3 year period, but he's a very successful businessman. And he's got the gift of giving. And when you have somebody in your church that has the gift of giving and you don't challenge them, you're not letting them have the blessings that they can have. And I hate to go ask for money. I've never done that. and don't plan to, but I'll present a need, and so, you know, you pray about what the Lord wants you to do, you act on it.
What do you do when you go to the door?
Okay. We went to the door. We said a Christian businessman in our community has made it possible for every high school student to have a reach out Bible. We'd like to give it to you. We already had their names. We got the names out of the directory, so that's where you can do it. We had that on the card. But we just said, in a conversation, we just said, you know, are you active in a church anywhere? Do you attend church anywhere? And we didn't sit there and write information down. Just a very informal conversation. When we got back on the street, we wrote the information down, prospect or no prospect. And that gave us just bookings of prospects that, you know, we started following up on. So, and the Lord's blessed us. We see kids at school with a little ragged, reach out Bible, man. It's all ripped up, dog beneath, you know, and everything. They're going down the hall with that Bible on their arm. And it was, for a while there, and even that's the thing to do, is to have one of those reach out Bibles. And kids at school carry them and read them. And, you know, man, we'll keep on doing it. Another thing in school, prospects are a big problem. I want to deal with that right quick before I hit some other things. Prospects are a big problem. That's always a problem in a wild school. You say, I got plenty of prospects. Well, do you really? What have you got? Have you got some Sunday school people that haven't been there in years and just been visiting? And when you send a kid that's fired up about witnessing out to somebody like that, and you'll miss burning right there. It'll be all over. Several ways to do this. One is, I took a piece of paper, and I'm a real artist, and you can see this, and I know right off you're going to recognize what this is. This is a picture of a classroom in school. I'm in the top of the room and took a picture of it, and a little X there marks where you sit. I asked the kids, I said, take this, and we're doing evangelism training. And I said, the first week, there's all I want you to do. I want you to get the name and the phone number of everybody that sits around you in the first period. That's all I want you to do. Just tell your youth director, your crazy youth director, ask you to do that, and you're doing it. You don't know why. That's all I told you. Next week, I said, what I did, I just cut off 290. And I gave them to the kids, and I said, now I want you to really pray during this next week that God will give you a specific opportunity to witness for these two people. We did it several ways. One way was, they would use that survey that I'd written for them. And they would call them up at night, and they'd say, hey, I'm in your history period. I'm taking a survey for our church. I'd like to ask you some questions. Well, they already know them, so more than likely they're going to do it. Get down to that last question, they say yes. I say, well, look, could we be a little bit early before class or after school? And let me share that with you. And this is one of the most effective things that we've ever done. Talk about, you know, a strategy for your school. You get 50 kids doing that all year. Boy, you're going to touch some lives. And we're starting this fall. We haven't been able to do it yet. But we thought we could point out this particular church. We didn't submit sure we're going to do that. What happens after an hour situation for 12 weeks? You've covered the 8 people. They switch classes. New trimester. If not, you just move to second period. You get through, just move down to second period. Get those names. And I got gym first period. All right, you take second period. Doesn't matter. Sooner or later, you have to go to class sitting by me. And you might have somebody that sits over here. Well, when he does his, he may want to move on to second period class. But each week, you're giving them back those names and asking for a report the next week. And it's miraculous some of the things God has done to bring those people together to share their faith. And that's a perpetual prospect file right there. And you need to keep good records. You need to keep good records. But that's a perpetual prospect file. Another thing that we do is we have our young people have a bus ministry in our church. As a matter of fact, we got 3 now. We had it 2 last week. We had a bus ministry. And what we did, we had a couple of kids that visited the route. The rest of us canvas went door to door. And we took a survey. We found out on our route that we have, that we're fixing to give over to somebody else and get another one. We can tell you, as far as we can determine with one visit, whether or not the people in every house on that route go to church, whether they don't go to church, which church they're active in, whether they're prospects. And we keep that on file. So about once every 6 months, we go back through and do those streets again. But we've already got family names and things. And we say, do the Smiths still live here? Are y'all still going to Queens Road Baptist? Or we say, what church do y'all go to? And you may get another church. And that's an indication, well, maybe they're not active in any church. And we ask them, you know, I said, well, we go to Queens Road. I said, well, who's the pastor there? And I said, well, you know, well, chances are they don't go. Their membership may be there. So that's a perpetual prospect file. Another prospect file is your current file, the things that you already have in your church prospect file. You may have some there. Funny thing happened to my father. He's a minister. And he went back to one of his churches where he used to pastor and preach a revival. And they have a blind pastor. And he's a most unusual man. His wife reads to him. He listens to a lot of tapes. He preaches. He got there, and it's a little big town in Mississippi, in the Delta, a place called Amarillo, Mississippi. And Dad said, "Well, Bobby, have you got any prospects?" He said, "Yeah, I got four." And Dad just kind of chuckled, you know, my older brother was leading the music for the revival. They kind of looked at each other and grinned. And so they went, and the first 2 days, two of those people got saved. So that left two prospects, and they were out of town. And Dad said, "Well, why don't we just start, you know, and go through town?" And they just started knocking on doors. And sure enough, every door they went to, I mean, without fail, Bob had been there and shared Christ with them. And he knew their spiritual condition, whether or not they were lost or saved. Not just one person, but everybody in the house. Of course, it's a little town, and there'll 500 people. But he had a strategy to win the city. You don't. You got out there and hook them. That's about the only situation I know of where there really might not be any prospects. And even there, there were two, and there were some people that were lost, but he'd already shared with them, and you know, he was following them. So that was exciting. That little revival church did about 100. They packed them out, had people outside, let the windows up, you know, and it was just a really exciting thing. A little Delta town in Mississippi, you know. The Slate evangelism team was there, and they really loved it. Another thing, your hottest prospects will be those kids that come to Joy Explosion. Your best prospects are those that come to your church. They've already shown an interest. I mean, they're there. They've shown an interest, and it's a... you know, you've got it in. Well, you know, you miss our church. We just want to come by and say, "We're glad to have you. We want to invite you to come back." And they're shocked, man. You know, you really care enough to come tell me that? Do you have a church home anywhere? Well, you know, I kind of go there. Well, if you have a church home, you know, we're really excited about that. We wouldn't want to dare pull you away from that church. But if you don't, you know, we'd like to share with you a little bit about our church. And I find out you're there to share Christ with them, and your church is secondary. And we need to remember that in all we do, all the... I've just kind of assumed that. We've invited people to church too long. That's about the most unscriptural thing I know. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. We're to go out and bring them in. We're to go out and share and bring them in. And, I think the Lord blesses when we go out and invite people to church. Well, I've been saved by that. We've kind of got the cart before the horse. The priorities are not exactly in the right place. All right. Okay, your Sunday school file. You've got a lot of kids enrolled in your Sunday school. They're lost. You have an in Sunday school, in church survey. Find those kids. So the kids that you just might not even expect have never accepted Christ. Some of them that have never been baptized. They accepted Christ but never followed the Lord in that commitment. Work through that. Thing we do that I think Steve Cloud is the one who developed it. It's called Bring Them Back Alive. And we did this in our revival a couple weeks ago. We do it on Wednesday nights now, about once a month. We do this where they come together at 6 o'clock. And we do that once a month because we have RAs and GAs. And on that night, that's their outreach night, they come with us and we go out. We just go out. I go through the Sunday school file and I find kids that hadn't been there in 2 years and I put up a most wanted list. And I put 25 names and addresses down there and I give them to them and say, these kids are not being here. Let's get after them. They go out in their car, pick them up and bring them back to Joy Club, or bring them back alive. Another thing we do is they go out and then I say, "Now listen, think of somebody you know of that's not in church and needs to be in church." Well, everybody knows somebody. So now go get it. And when they pick him up, they say, "Now listen, you think of somebody that you know ought to be in church that's not in church." And you just do that every stop you must. It's a perpetual thing. And boy, we had a real success with this a couple weeks ago in our revival. We had several hundred kids that came that did that. That works good for you. Joy Explosion works good. You may want to call your Monday night or your visitation night that and bring them back alive, where you go out and bring them back to your visitation time. You may want to work that where you bring them back to Joy Explosion rather than recreation time. A lot of people do that. They go out and visit and bring them back in recreation time and then have Joy Explosion. Our Joy Explosion is a little bit more structured than that. It's like a worship service. We built it on that. We want to stay with that. We don't apologize for that. Another thing is your touch ministry. In pool halls and parks and swimming pools and this sort of thing. We got a big pool hall called Popeye's. Call recreation center, but it's just a glorified pool hall is all it is. I just try to spend time in here during the summer. I go in there and shoot pool and, you know, wear my old jeans and tennis shoes. And, I just go in there. And of course, they're leery of you and they have to see you in there for a while. You have to check with the manager, you know, and all that. But it's really funny. This guy, Darrell, preached against that hellhole one day in one of the sermons that we're letting our kids run around places, Popeyes. And that afternoon, the owner of that thing was down there on him. I don't know why he was cutting down his deal before he left, except the Lord. He's not followed through with that commitment publicly, but I've been able to do a little follow-up with him, and I really think it's a genuine commitment. I just think he's got a lot to work through before he really comes on. He welcomes us in there. That's the place we showed the movie, and that was before he accepted the Lord. There are a lot of creative things you can do in those places to really, they'll let you put posters up in there. Movies are real good. If there's ever a place to use Second Coming movies, it's in Poulan's. Most of those Second Coming movies, I have real problems with a lot of them. But there's some places they can be used, and I think a Poulan might be one of them, to bring some kids back to reality, to let them know that, you know, there's some things coming they need to know about. I'd be very selective what I show. I just got to say to the Christian film, be careful. But, you know, you can, like, get a film and you can work out something. We worked out a deal with a film distributor there, and usually we told them what we were doing. Look, you know, we're going to short our kids and we'll pay you that price. And we're going to short the Poulan. It's just a ministry. We're not going to make anything off of it. Is there any possibility we can short it for you? And then from time to time, they'll let you do that. If you get over to the guys that have the copyright on the film, you know, this one. Otherwise, you may have to pay, you know, some $85 for the cross and switchblade, which is probably the best that you can show. It's really going to get messages to. This summer, about one day a week, all of us are going to put on our bathing suits and move on to the pools. The kids hang out swimming pools, and we're just going to go there, probably on Wednesday afternoon, share the Lord with those kids, maybe just pick out one or two, not a big quantity deal, pick out one or two, get to know them, share the Lord with them, invite them to join the clergy. Parks, the same way. We have a ministry in Strawberry Park in the summertime. We don't do it in the wintertime because, believe it or not, it does get cool in Pasadena, Texas, and there are not a lot of kids out there. But on Friday night, after we preach this meeting out there the first time, we begin to go out there on Friday night and just hang around, constructively hang around, as we say. And kids begin to, you know, after they got over the initial shock of us being there, and they realized we were there to help them. We weren't the first thing they think is you're an narc. Have to convince them that you're not an narc. And then gain their confidence. You'll be surprised the number of kids you can try just by being there. We had a guy that just replayed the guitar really well. I mean, he was a class guitar player. Well, he'd go out there and sit on the beach and just start playing. Play gospel songs, where everyone play pick, play, sing. And we were out before we really realized what was happening. We had 60 or 80 kids out there around that parking beach just for a rap time. We just talked to them. And we talked about religion. They knew why we were there. And we, you know, lose a lot. Most of them were ragging it. That's a concentrate and glue. They can put it on a rag and inhaling it. And it's pure poison and straight to the kidneys. And you kill them. A lot of 12, 13-year-olds out there that were burning to cook. And we begin to go out there. That's an exciting, a really exciting time. I really like that. We don't let the girls go out there. It's just too rough a place. There are fights and this sort of thing. But it's an exciting, exciting time. And we've seen kids, that is really funny. One of the funniest things that ever happened in my ministry was our church is a big formal church, but it's informal in spirit. And I had this kid, and I said, "Man, why don't you come to church with us around?" I said, "Come to church with me." He said, "I don't have anything to wear." He had on a sweatshirt and a pair of jeans that he had on all week. And I said, "Look, you wear that, and I'll wear what I got on." And I had on just an old raggedy shirt, and the armpit was out, you know, blue jeans ripped, a pair of tennis shoes, no socks. He said, "Would you really?" I said, "Yeah, I would." I said, "If you'll come to church, I'll wear that." I said, "I guarantee you we'll both be accepted by everybody there. Nobody look down at you." He said, "Oh, I don't believe that." Well, fine. Convince the guy to Saturday night about 11:05. I convinced him to do it. So I called next morning, woke him up. I said, "I'm going to be there." I said, "All right." Well, I go out there and you know, my dress, you know, and I already told the pastor what was coming off. He's all for it. And I went out there, and this turkey comes out of his apartment, walks over there, looks at me, and goes back into his apartment, puts on a coat and tie, and comes back. We went to church. but he did go to church, and he saw that I really cared about him. I really loved him. And shortly after that, he moved away. But his little brother, and his brother's girlfriend, and his sister all accepted the Lord through all of that. So it was exciting. You know, you just never know. Like, you know, Dawson was talking this morning, being vulnerable and, you know, putting yourself in that situation. We started a Bible study out there at 9:30 on Sunday morning. And we did that for a while during the summertime. Just during our Sunday school service, I had a Sunday school class and met in the park. And we had several, we had some adults that even come to that. And then as the winter got, the weather got bad, and we had to stop that. Some of those people began to come to our church. And our bus ministry in our church is not a numbers thing. Our bus ministry continually goes down because we're reaching families and they're bringing their own kids and coming to church. And that's the most productive area when we're in this bus ministry. Our pastor will tell you that. Boy, it's just some exciting things you have to have. As far as our visitation program, basically it's Monday. We have visitation at 10 in the morning, 3:30 in the afternoon, 6:30 at night. We do nothing else but visit on Monday. The WMU doesn't go to the old folks' home and wash hair, whatever they do. They don't have any meetings. That's what we do, and that's it. And it's tough to do. And if you're in a traditional situation, if you're in a situation, the biggest problem you'll have will be athletics, with city leagues and all this. And we had that problem the first time we did that. I had activities at that point. I told the guys that we cannot play on Monday or Wednesday nights. I said, we just can't do it. And we had about six teams in the league. It was only about $5 or $10. And he said, he called back and said, well, I said, we got everything worked out. You got one team that had to play on Monday night. Y'all just have to suck it up and go. I said, no, so we can't do that. He said, well, I got all your other teams working. I said, well, you know, that's fine. I said, but if we can't work it out where we can all play, I said, we'll just pull all our teams out of the league. And he said, well, I don't think your people let you do that. I said, well, I said, they never know about it. I said, they've already made their commitment. I said, well, they'll stand behind them. Not all of them. I have some people. And I said, I'll be down there in about 20 minutes to get my check unless you can work it out. And about 10 minutes later, he called me back and said, we worked it out. And we started talking about money and these things. They have a way of listening. And, but, it, you know, we had to take a stand. This is what we're going to do. And that is basically it as far as our visitation program works. We have a wind school in our church about every 3 to 4 months. We have a wind school, we have an advanced wind school, we have youth wind schools. We're in a wind strategy overall in our church. And so about every 3 or 4 months, or any time we get a group of people that want to learn how to share their faith. We've had a group of people come into our church and recently, and even though we just had a wind school in the middle of fall through, one of our staff members takes in and we have a wind school right then to get them to share their faith. Consequently, last couple of years, we baptized and they were 250, 300 people, which we're not real proud of. We need to be doing better than that. Our pastor says to be scriptural, we need to baptize at least 365, as it says that they were added to the church daily. And he's kind of got fired up. But let me tell you about those 350, 300 people. We've had one evangelistic meeting in the last 2 years. We're live. We had some deep life meetings. We were going to have a tent revival one time, and a tornado took our tent. Ripped it right out of the parking lot, set it out in the middle of the main drag of town. And we didn't have a big harvest during that time. We got week in, week out, we see people come to the Lord. And that's what we want. You know, Dr. Fish, we had a lot of people we've been cultivating. You know, we've just been working with those people. And we knew that we were going to have a harvest time, but we were prayed up about it. The staff and spending time in prayer and fasting, and people had, and we were excited. We had, I think, over 100 people saved and about 175 additions to the church. So that was a real harvest time. But, you know, normally our emphasis is on it. We, day to day, that's what it's at. That's key. That is basically all that I have. The main thing that I suggest that you do is do it. Whatever you do. There's no way, probably, and if you can go back home and put together all these things in your church. These things we developed over, well, in my life, over the last 8 years in my ministry, in that particular place here, 3.5 years. And sometime during the summer, more than likely, as I look over, we'll be involved in a little bit of all of this. And well, we've got some priorities that we do. Monday night, that's a priority. We, you know, that's it. We don't have nothing to interfere with that. But like this thing with the park, you say, well, our church is so busy. Well, you know, you get clearance from your pastor, your staff, whatever. Whenever we have something like Strawberry in the Park, I mean, Pulpit in the Park, or that revival in the guy's front yard, we announce it and all, but our church services go right on. I mean, you know, we're a multiple ministry church type situation, and no matter how big you are, you can be that too. You know, we'll have some of our faithful people that will come and give support to the meetings and work as counselors and sponsors and this sort of thing. And a lot of old people come to see what the young men are doing, and we welcome them, and you know, they're excited. But, oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I miss a lot of church meetings. During our revival, I went 2 times. The other time, I was out sharing during those nights with our people. And we'd come back in on right invitation time and have counseling with people in fact. But there are times here where you'll miss. Now, you know, different situations, you may not be able to do that. If you're, you know, in a church where the staff is not that big, you got to be there. You got to be there. Some of us were always there. You know, somebody was always there. And, so, but size is not really important. Well, the Lord just wants you to do it, whatever it is. If it's one backyard Bible club and you work those prospects, if that's all the equipped people you've got this summer, do that. and work with prospects. We did it first of summer, and you've got prospects for the rest of the summer. The thing that we strive for in our church is for every member to develop a lifestyle of evangelism, just as they go to share. I long for the day where we don't have to have a night at church when we visit. It's just a natural thing that everybody's doing. We're not there yet. I don't think we'll probably ever be there. We're to heaven. But that's where we're at. Okay? Matter of fact, the first time I ever thought about that, so you said it. Most of the time, I say that, we checked in at one time. It seemed like our summer school, there was a morning session, an evening session, and not a lunch service. They came. So we begin, let's have a word of prayer. And we ask the Lord to kind of clear out our minds. I know we're all kind of tired or relaxed or sleepy. Your mind is probably full. It's like my mind was the first time I went to a conference by about this time, really confused. So let's just ask the Lord to give us a clear mind tonight so we can learn and share together. Father, we thank you today for the many, many things that you're teaching us this week. Lord, for the things that you want to teach us right now. We pray that during our discussion time tonight that everything we do will lift you up. That we'll draw, if we lift you up, we know that we'll draw men to the Father. And Father, I just pray that in everybody's mind right now that things will be cleared out, that we can comprehend what you want to teach us tonight. I ask these things in your precious name. Amen. First off, one of the basics to doing anything in summer evangelism or any other kind of evangelism is for you to equip your young people, to train them. Don't just send them out there and tell them to, you know, get after it, do it. We're doing that in a lot of situations without really training and equipping our young people. There are several ways to do this. Many of you are familiar with the WIN strategy, the WIN school, and if you want some information on that, I'll be glad to give it to you. You can write me in Pasadena at First Baptist Church. And my father's also in that full time, just happens to be in that, and we can get you information. It's basically a 5-night training program that you come and study together for 5 nights, and on the 5th night you go out and share, and then you come back together every night for 12 weeks, one night a week for 12 weeks, and a follow through. And that's the most important part of the WIN strategy, is that coming back week in and week out, and the goal of that is that you become a lifestyle witness. Another program that is really good for young people is known as WOW, W-O-W, stands for Win Our World. That material, and we'll be sharing more about that with you during the week, but that material can be ordered from the Home Mission Board, and Joe Ford compiled that. And it's very good. It's just like the WIN, with the exception it's designed more specifically for young people. I would encourage you that if your church is not in the WIN strategy, for you to use the WOW in hopes that someday your church, your total church, will get in the WIN strategy, which WIN stands for Witness Involvement Now, and it is designed for your whole church. And it's really not the best thing to use that with youth and then try to come back and use it with young, with the old church, because the young adults say, well, this is one of those youth programs. And really, it's not meant for that at all. It's for adults and the whole church. So those two things are equipping. Now, as far as the summer goes, one of the better times to do that would be before final exams begin in May. That way you get your training in before the summer gets there, before people go on vacation, before your mission trip, before choir tour, before all of that. You get your training in, and they're ready to go, and the 8 weeks can go through the summer. And like I said, the WOW has 8 weeks of follow-through. Now, those are some structured programs that are designed, and in the teacher's manual, it'll give you, I'll show you those manuals in a minute, but it'll give you exactly how long to take. It starts off with a Bible study for the first half of the session. The second half is spent in creative activities, things helping the kids begin to talk and share with each other, and gradually you build toward the last night, and they go out, team them up, and they go out, come back and have a share time on the last night. Two other resources that I think are just really good for young people. One is a book by Dr. George Worrell, and it's entitled How to Take the Worry Out of Witnessing. You can get that at your Baptist bookstores. how to take the worry out of what this in Georgia's probably doing more in the area of youth evangelism than any other man in the country from a state level. He is the director of youth evangelism for the state of Texas. We have Super Summer every year, and we'll have this year right at 1,000 kids and 300 to 500 adults there being trained in the same thing you're being trained in this week. And if you've got any kids that might be interested in that, you'll see me. I'll get you the information on how you might go about bringing some kids. How to take the worry out of witnessing. It has a study guide with it. It's very, very good. It's just a book that you could teach them on maybe a night-to-night basis. Maybe do it all in a week or a retreat or something like that. Another is Paul Little's book. Very good book. How to Give Away Your Faith. I went blank there. Paul Little, How to Give Away Your Faith. Very, very good. Again, there's a teacher's guide. And the training materials, even though you yourself may not have ever done any of that, the material is so well written that anybody can do it. It really is. One thing that I like to do personally is I like to have somebody else in to teach that from time to time. Now, I lead those in my own church, from time to time, but I like to have an outside speaker. It just kind of adds a little when you tell your kids, I'm bringing somebody in and to teach a witness training time. It says something to them, this is a priority. They know you're going to put out some money to get him. It kind of, lets them know something. Plus, I know my kids need a break. They hear me every Wednesday night, and it's good for me to hear a good speaker every now and then. So, any of the guys here on staff are very capable of doing that. You probably know a lot more. Rod is real good at doing that. Rod's probably scheduled with more. He can come, and Barry, and all of us. If there's any way we can help that, want to. But after that, I'd really encourage you to begin to do it yourself, because the kids need to look at you and they need to see that in your lifestyle. Before you're going to be able to get your kids to witness and know, primary principle is that you're going to have to be sharing yourself. You're going to have to be able to say, come on, let's go, and take them. They need to see you witnessing. They need to see people coming to your church making a decision that they know you led the Lord. You don't have to blow your horn when that happens. They'll know. It's reproducing after your own kind. Some of us need to really evaluate ourselves. When was the last time we led someone to the Lord? Well, my pastor, he really keeps us on our toes. We know any time he sees him, probably someone in the conversation, he's going to say, have you led anybody to the Lord today? Or have you shared with anybody today? And his example, his life style is an example of that. And we've probably got one of the most witnessing music directors you'll find anywhere. And if any of you guys are in music, you know that that's usually unusual. If you're a music man and you're witnessing, boy, I just praise the Lord for you. Excite you. I know a guy named Zub in California that's a witness, or boy, he'll get after it. Our musician is Dan Sampson, and boy, he loves to share his faith. And so you've got to be doing it yourself. We'll deal more with that on Thursday. When do you do this? I suggest it before exams. And I say that because the end of school is really tough. There are a lot of things going on. Probably a better way is to have it either all day Saturday, start at 8, just have a day of it, or maybe Friday night and Saturday. And you can have, you may want to use some of these materials. You may even want to mix and match this, you use some of this and some of that. The important thing is that you get the thing across and you feel trained. And never, and I say this, and this is why we're going out Thursday, never have a witness training without a lab, without going out and doing it. If you do, all you've had is another study course. And they'll forget that next week. Guys, the greatest sermon you'll ever preach. Man, you just may come up with three fine points and a tremendous poem and have decisions and everything. But the greatest sermon you ever preach, most of your young people are going to forget. They'll forget. But you equip them to share Christ. Teach them how. And they'll never forget. They'll never forget. That'll be lasting in their life. And that's really important. An all-day deal, you may want to take like two Saturdays. You may want to do a building process. You may on Monday night, you may say, this is our witnessing time. We're going to come together and study for an hour and then go out. Depends on where your kids are. Your kids may be ready for that and do that. Using your summer for evangelism, let me tell you, I'm just going to be sharing with you tonight some things that we have done, something that we're doing continually, and we'll go from there and then we'll break it open for questions and answers. First off, Monday is outreach day at our church. By church action, by church vote, we don't do anything on Monday except outreach. And you say, well, a Bible study is outreach. Well, it may be, but that don't count on Monday. The WMU does meet on Monday. We don't have ball games or ball practices, or even city playoffs. If we have to play on Monday, we forfeit. And boy, you know, there, you athletic guys aren't getting that nitty-gritty when you forfeit a game. But our church is saying to that city that the number one thing that we do in this town is share Christ with other people. And you say, well, you know, we can share other times. Well, we can. But we found out with a lot of young Christians and a lot of carnal Christians, if you give them a choice between softball or volleyball and witnessing, they're going to go play volleyball. A lot of chicken Christians. And I say that facetiously. Somebody said that silence is golden. Well, in Christian life, silence is yellow. Silence is yellow. And it's a thing that we have set as a priority, and you may not be able to go back to your church and do that. I can see you now walking into your pastor saying, Brother Johnson, I just want to let you know that from now on we're not doing anything on Monday but a witness. And it's a, I think probably the first thing you need to do Monday is fill out some job applications and begin to pass them around. But you can establish that with your youth minister. A day, a night that you say, this is what we're going to do. Now, here's where we work it in our church, and we have a gym. And if any of you regret that you don't have a gym, I have one I'd like to give you if you'd like to come get it. Gyms can be blessings and they can be pains. But Monday nights are a blessing. We meet together at 6:30. We do this in preparation for our mission trip. The music minister and I work closely on the mission trip. As a matter of fact, last year I didn't even go on the mission trip. The music minister did it. They went to Philadelphia. I had back our Bible clubs. But I was involved with a training. We call them PEP sessions, P-E-P, people, evangelization, preparation. People, evangelization, preparation. And we come together, we study. We're doing one of the discipleship programs in that time. For an hour we study, and then 6:30 we go out. Now when summer gets here, we'll come back to the gym at 9 o'clock. And we'll bring back the people we visit. We'll bring them back with us. Get them. And we have the gym open from 9 to 10:30 for just a recreation time. And it's really a key time in cultivating some of your prospects, some of your inactive members, some of your members that do anything you can get them to come there is for volleyball. Well, we invite them back, but that's a real outreach time. And we nobody comes to that, or regular kids that doesn't come to visitation. And we have to just stand there and say, look, you know, you're here tonight to play ball. You can play tonight. But next week, if you don't come to visitation, don't come back. Now, you can do that with every kid, because some of those kids you want to come. But some of your regular kids, it's just, you know, going to visitation, I'll just come play ball. You have to set things, okay? Here's the way we're going to do it, and we'll abide by this, and you'll be surprised. Got a softball coach I shared with you this morning. That, you know, during revival, last week, we had 2 weeks ago, we had a revival. We had Dr. Fish revival, and they had a game on Tuesday night. Well, in order for the boys to play that Tuesday night, they had to come to the 6:45 service that morning, and they had to meet at the church at 6 o'clock that night and go out and share their faith, and they went and played ball at 8:30. And you know, that's important. Another thing there that we do in our revival, every time we have a revival, we have 30 or 40 people out sharing every night of the revival. They don't come to the revival service. They go out and follow up on prospects, on visitors, and share their faith. We rotate that so, you know, they don't have to miss all the services. But that's been a real productive thing in our church, in the life of our church. I want to talk just a minute about summer staff and explain a little bit about that, what it is, how it works. Immediately when I say summer staff, some of you are thinking, boy, you're talking about a lot of money. Well, you can be. And then again, you cannot be talking about a lot of money. This summer, my summer staff is not going to cost me hardly anything. What I'm doing is I'm using some of my own kids, some seniors who graduated, and some college students, and I'm helping them find part-time jobs in the morning. They'll go and work in the morning, go home and eat, and then they'll come back to the church around 1:30, and we'll spend about 30 minutes in prayer time. Maybe some Bible study from day to day, some training. And then they'll go out and they're going to be used strictly in evangelism and a lot of the things that I'll be talking to you about later on. And they're just kids that are committed. It's almost just like an internship, just like they were going to summer school. And especially for your full-time Christian service kids who made that commitment, this is a super way to involve them. You know, you reap benefits from it, but I think more times than not, they're the one that reap the most benefits. Last summer, I did a little different. I had 7 college students come in from all across the South, and I paid them $15 a week and furnished them a place to live and eat, and that was it. And they learned a lot about living on faith and budgeting their money, and they were with me full time. If you decide to do that, you need to get ready to spend your summer being an administrator, because that's what it takes. It was well worth it. Next summer, I may do that again. This summer, we're going to work with some of our kids just because there's a real need there, and we want to meet that need. So summer staff is an excellent way to see what you do there. You're not inviting them in to do all the witnessing. What you're doing is you're inviting them in to share in that ministry with you, and more specifically to work specifically with some of your young people and take them out sharing where, you know, you couldn't take but maybe one out a day. If you got seven there, you know, they could take seven more or maybe even 14 out to do that. Okay, the next three things that we have done and that we'll do this summer are really some exciting things. When I say them, they won't seem exciting, believe me. Probably all of you heard of backyard Bible clubs. And I spent a summer in Wisconsin as a missionary doing backyard Bible clubs. And that's a real experience. But it is one of the most productive things that you can do in your ministry as far as evangelism. A lot of these kids are real young. A lot of them don't know anything about the Bible. A lot of them are not, have no concept. They come for trouble or cookies and Kool-Aid or whatever they come for. But you can always get a crowd from them. You can get family names that you can follow up in the family. And many times, in your cases, you find the teenagers there that won't even think about coming to a backyard Bible club, much less go to church. But you find their names and follow up on that on a one-on-one basis. Second, okay? Backyard Bible clubs? Yes. I can just briefly run over that with you. There are materials available from the Child Evangelism Fellowship in Houston. They've got I imagine they've got offices elsewhere. I know they do. There's an office in Houston. But basically what that consists of is a lot of activities to begin with. You play games. You play duck, duck, goose, some of the biggies there, you know. What you do is you're trying to get them tired. You just run them. And you do that so they'll sit down and listen. And after you get them good and tired, you sit them down. You sing some songs. You may want to use a guitar, the old triangle or the sticks or whatever. You sing some songs. Then you have a mission story. And those are available also through the Southern Baptist Bookstore. They have a Backyard Bible Club material magnet. You have a mission story that the Child Evangelism one, I think, is really strong here, because the mission story is about a missionary. And you have like some famous missionaries that you know, and some that you know, maybe a fictitious story. I don't know. I think most of them are true stories. But, you know, you build it up, and at the end of the day, missionary Bill's up in the top of a tree, and there are a bunch of hungry cannibals down at the bottom fixing to get him. And you stop and say, to find out what happens, you need to come back tomorrow. And it builds, and then on Friday, you know, it's a conclusion. And it's really good, because kids, well, they're excited about what's going to happen to Bill, you know, where's missionary Bill. They also, you know, different men in history, this thing. Then you sing some more songs, and then you have a Bible story. And basically, that's it. You can use any variation. After the Bible story, you have some refreshments for them. And first one I ever did, they sent us out to an area that they said, you probably won't have 10 or 12 kids here. We're just going to send two of you out there. It's a new area, and we'll just see what happens. We had 95 kids show up. So don't ever underestimate what can happen. And by the end of the week, we were having 150. And that was way too big, but we didn't have any more help, so we just had to struggle through it. A lot of kids saved, a lot of exciting things happened, you know, during that time. It was in Milwaukee. But that is a real, real productive area. This works very well in neighborhoods where you have people, where you have, you know, families in neighborhoods you have it in their yard. Another place that it works very well is in apartment ministries. Most of your apartment managers are thrilled at the thought of somebody coming in working with all the brats and running around the apartment complex, breaking out windows during the summer. And you can have it. There's a lot of different ways to go. You can have it in the morning. You can have it in the afternoon, depending on your climate. You know how hot it is. You want to have it right at the heat of the day. Usually about the middle of the morning works pretty good, like 9:30 to 11:30. After lunch, a lot of them are down for naps, and you know their mothers, it really works better to do that. We always have the last day, that's like a parent day, where they bring, you know, their parent, whoever's home, and maybe have the pastor come out and meet them, this sort of thing. Another thing that we did in connection with this last summer, we bought a tent. It cost us like $1,200 or something like that. It wasn't very much for the use that we got out of it. It well paid for itself. You may have somebody in your church that's got a tent. You don't have to have a tent. We set up backyard Bible clubs in the apartment complexes, but every night we had a revival meeting. We used a lot of our preacher boys that preached. And we just set that tent up, you know, right across the street on the vacant lot, or where the school operating let us set up on the school grounds. And we'd invite their parents to come out to the revival meeting. be honest with you, that is a real hard thing, because it's really hard to get people to come out of the apartments. They're real leery. But we did some things in the afternoon, like we had the police force send a lady out to teach a course on self-defense. And the ladies really came out for that in the afternoon. It's like 2 o'clock. And we had some of our young people go and keep their kids so they could come to that. We had a lady from Singer Sewing Machine to come out and demonstrate some new things in sewing. You know, just some practical things like that in the afternoon just to get some attention, to draw some attention. And one thing, a deal on that, you need to assign different people to do different things on that. You need to assign a group of kids to publicize a revival, to get out there and knock on doors. You need to assign a group of kids to backyard Bible clubs. You need to assign a group of kids to do the afternoon activities if you have those. It's too much for one person to try to go to a door, knock on the door, and, you know, read off this whole list of things of what all is going on. It's not like a big carnival over there. And a lot of times, you know, you don't have anybody to show up. But we did that. And, you know, the Lord blessed it. It was a real tough ministry. And it's not something you'll have real quick results. But it was almost like an awareness deal. These people knew we were there and what have you. Had a real funny thing happen one time I'll share with you. We were putting that tent up on this big yard. My summer staff that summer got to put the tent up on Mondays, and that was a real blessing. Yeah. One boy from Barry's church, every Monday we'd be out there taking that big sledgehammer and hammering those things in the ground. He'd look around and say, some fun we're having now, huh? We set the tent up one day, and there was a stump there. We said, man, that is like a fantastic pulpit. You know, it's about that high. So we set the tent up where that was right in the front, right in the center. Our associate pastor preached that night. He set his Bible down. We noticed he kept giving this number. And we put that thing right in a big bed of red ants. And it seems like the ate him alive while he was trying to preach. So we all had a good laugh out of that. We thought all the ants got saved and, you know, just coming forth. But those things, see, that's a coordination thing. We did the backyard Bible clubs, you know, the tent revival in the apartment ministry all together. Something we're doing this summer that I'm really excited about, we've got about 40 people in our church, young people, high school kids and college kids, who surrendered to full-time Christian service. And we're just really excited about it. We believe that we've told them before, we're going to recommend them anywhere. They had to, you know, show their stuff there in the local church. And we've got some guys that are not willing to do anything, but they can get called to staff like our church. And, you know, that just didn't happen that way. And so we're giving this some opportunities. One of the things we're doing is I've got a high school kid and a college guy that are going to be on my summer staff, and I have assigned them to an apartment complex. One is right near a high school where there are a lot of high school kids. The other is in another area where there are a lot of townhouses with a lot of high school kids. They're going to spend 2 days a week in those complexes taking a door-to-door survey, witnessing, and having a Bible study or some kind of wrap time on that night, say Tuesday night, inviting those high school kids. And they're going to be there all summer. They're going to really be able to invest their lives. In other words, I'm giving them that as their mission field. And that's going to be awesome. Basically, their whole responsibility is going to be doing that, to plant their lives in an apartment complex. The reason I dwell in apartments, 51% of the people in our town live in apartments. There's a housing crunch. It's unreal. And 51%. We have the largest apartment complex in the world in Pasadena, Texas. Something like 7,000 units. One complex. They have something like, you know, 15 swimming pools, and, you know, it just goes on and on. No, we didn't do that. We had a backyard Bible club there last year. That was some fun. But this year we've got a smaller complex. We decided we're doing more of a quality job than trying to branch out and do a lot. Now, I use my high school kids and junior high kids in backyard Bible clubs. They love it. It's a little tiring. They're tired at the end of the week. But do it one or two ways. You can have a different deal in every week and a different, you know, deal. Or you can just have like 7 or 8 in 1 week and do it all 1 week. And a possibility there, if you've got a friend in someplace else and he wants to take a mission trip and wants to really do something, you know, really to help a church, have him bring his kids into your church, no matter, you know, how big you are, how influential you are. Have him bring his kids into your church, spend the week with your kids, doing backyard Bible clubs in your town, and then maybe 4 or 5 weeks later, go to his town and do backyard Bible clubs in his town. You know, that would be a real cornea between the kids. That'd be exciting, boy. That'd be some really good things to happen out of that. I've never done that, but I've often thought about it. We usually go to a Pioneer area. This year we're going to Chicago. So we've got a church up there that we sent a man up there to start in an area that supposedly the church can't grow. You know, it's a real rich area. And it's Frank Radcliffe. And they had their 1 year anniversary Sunday. And 2 Sundays ago, they had 380 in Sunday school. So he seems to have found something up there. He's a hard worker. That's what it is. He got out and knocked on doors. Next thing I want to talk to you about is Joy Explosion. And you're going to be finding out more about that. That's just a weekly time where you come together and share Christ with lost kids. During the summertime, that thing really takes off. And last summer, we doubled our attendance, and we're really hoping to do that this summer. And we're really excited about that because that can mean 400 or 500 kids in Joy Explosion. And that's a tremendous time for evangelism. You guys are preachers. I preach there every week. That's the time that I stand before my kids, and they know where I stand. And they hear me talk about what God's doing in my life and explain the scriptures to them, and we give an invitation. In the summertime, we do a lot of creative things because they don't have to be in at night. We'll have a, about once every 6 weeks, we do something big. By that, I mean every week is not some circus or some, you know, spectacular thing. Last week, we had a guy named Sherman Anders, who was a black dude with the Imperials, came and sung. There were 700 there. And that was a real special thing with a lot of publicity on it. And hopefully, we'll, this week, our Joy Explosion crowd will be up from what it was 2 weeks ago. As long as we're doing that, we're all right. If it, you know, really comes in on the big times and falls off, then we're going to quit doing the biggies. Because we don't want to be built on those biggies. But we do things like everybody bring you banana. And after it's over, we have a big long banana split. You know, we keep that kind of stuff to minimum because we don't want that to be the thing that kids remember. But we use that to draw kids in. Because there's one thing about it, and it's not good to start your ministry off like that, but once you're established and people know, you know, what's going to happen when they come, they know that the claims of Christ are going to be presented, then I feel like you have a little more freedom to do some of those things, what have
you.
Yeah, we have that every week at 7:15 on Wednesday night. It's our Joy Explosion. Well, it's on Bridge. We start at 7:15 and we're usually out by 8:30. And the same time that our church runs now. I don't want to get into this real big because that's going to be one of your lessons. Your group leader will be talking about it. We tried having it at different times. We'd have about 15 kids come to prayer meeting. And, you know, finally we fought it and fought it. I wanted to have it at 7:15 in prayer meeting. The preacher said no. The preacher came. He said yes. And then I said, well, I don't feel right about it now. Finally, first of this year, we got it together. And we moved it. And we went from about 15 kids on Wednesday night to we had around 200 now. It's just week in and week out, and we're growing. So that's why we do it. Yeah, just like song service, a skit, testimonies, and I preach. One of the biggies I was talking about, like we showed the cross and the switchblade one time last summer, which was a really biggie, and we had 200 people there, and that was the biggest crowd we've ever had. Now we're running that. So we're just, you know, the Lord's really blessing, and we're excited about what he's going to do. But during the summertime, we did that, and we showed the cross and switchblade, and then what we did worked out where on Friday night we showed that film again in Pooh Hall. We told the guy we got a good flip because a lot, it won't cost you a red cent. Let us come in when you close and show it. 2 o'clock in the morning, took my little projector over there and set it up. We had about 130 kids there. Several received the Lord, so it was exciting. You know, you got to be creative in evangelism. Man, if you think of something, the Lord impresses you something, nobody else has done it, try it. One or two things will happen. You'll be able to tell somebody else what won't work. Or you'll be able to tell somebody what will work. And anytime you go and share the word, your success. So you should, you know, remember that and do it. Okay, but Joy Explosion is a real key time, and you'll learn a lot more about that when you have your when we study that in our groups. Okay, junior high. I got tickled talking to hear Dawson talk this morning about junior high kids. We share some of the same feelings. I got a friend that says he's never seen a saved junior high kid yet. I tend to agree with him. He must have been around some of my junior high kids. But they're an exciting group. I took 100 to the beach one time, never do it again. That's not the best thing to do with junior high kids. But we found out something that you can do. On Wednesday morning this summer, from 9:30 to 11:30, we haven't decided exactly what we're going to call it yet, but it's going to be a junior high time. They're going to come, and for an hour and a half, we're going to have recreation time. We're going to do some stuff, some nerd Olympics, and, you know, just open recreation, this sort of thing. And then for 30 minutes, we're going to have a Bible study, just an evangelistic Bible study. And one of my high school kids is going to lead that, and it'll be a real outreach time. From time to time, we'll take trips. We'll load them all on the bus and take them down, which is the next thing I was going to mention. The thing we call a mystery bus caravan. Mystery bus caravan. We did this a couple of years ago on Sunday night after church. We told all the kids, bring a sandwich and come to the mystery bus caravan. We didn't tell them where we were going or what we were going to do. The only two people in the world who knew what we were doing were me and the music director. And the bus drivers didn't even know where they were going. And, boy, we had kids. We had 400 kids that night show up. I mean, kids came from everywhere. Yeah. And right before service, we told the bus drivers and the people that had the food where to go. We rented a country club out on the edge of town. We drove those kids all over Houston. Finally ended up back at this place. We had a group there that sang, and then our pastor shared the gospel. And just an evangelistic service, and we had kids saved. But what I'm saying is they knew that sooner or later they were going to hear the gospel. You know, they need to know that about your church. They need to know every time they come, they're going to hear the gospel. Our church, for a long time, the kids at school didn't know anything about it. And we were able to build a good reputation at school. When they hear Joy Explosion, they know which church it is and they know what it is. Everything we do, we call Joy Explosion. Retreat, Joy Explosion Retreat. We had an all-night New Year's Eve party a couple of years ago, which was something that worked out very well. We had about 350 kids show, but only about 150 to 200 were our kids. The rest were visitors. And we went bowling, went ice skating, we showed the film Brian's Song, which is by the way one of the best secular movies you can show. It's clean, it's a good story, it's true. Just for a fun time, we showed that. Ice skating, putt-putt golf, bowling. And of course, you got to have buses and do all that, but you may be other ways that you can work that out within your own situation. We only lost one bus, and it was junior high kids. So we piled all them on another bus. We had about 160 on a bus, which isn't the best safety thing in the world, but we made it. Yes, yes. Our target group in Joy Explosion is high school kids. I mean, that's where we drive home. That's where our publicity is. That's where we drive home. But we're lapping over into the college, which I don't have. I don't have the college ministry in our church.